is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Scotland, to Simon Constable of Barron's, the Forbes, the Wall Street Journal, other distinguished publications. Winter is coming to Scotland is the news. Simon, welcome home from France. We'll get you to Edinburgh in just a moment, but the raging headlines these last days is that there is an energy shortage expected upon you in Great Britain. In addition, there is a shortage of what I understand to be CO2. How do these things go together, and why is it that the government is telling people to calm down? They're doing what they can. Winter is coming. Good evening to you, Simon.
Good evening to you, John. Yes, there's a lot going on here, and it's very interesting to be back. So, as you may know, natural gas prices across the world have jumped up, and we've seen that in the US, and they are around $5 per cubic feet in the US. But in Europe, it's $15. And part of that is the shortage is that we've got a great demand and reduced supply. We get most of our natural gas from Russia piped in to the UK and to Europe. And companies that have offered to sell consumers natural gas at a fixed rate now find they're actually losing money if they sell the gas at that rate. And so people are panicking. Companies that provide natural gas are about to go bust, and the government will likely have to deal with that in some way or another, possibly with bailouts. So there's a big worry there, big worry that people will not be able to afford to heat their homes. It's very important to heat your home in the UK because it gets a bit chilly in the winter. So there's that side of it. And then there is the CO2 business. Now, natural gas is also used as a feedstock for making nitrogen-based fertilizer. So you take air, which is 80% nitrogen, and you mix that with the natural gas, and then you get nitrogen fertilizer, and you also get CO2, that's carbon dioxide, which is then sold to the meat processing industry to stun the animals so that they can be culled humanely. They stopped operating a few weeks ago, the plant in the UK, so there's not enough CO2 for the meat processing industry. And the government has now stepped forward a couple of days ago to say, look, we will cover the cost. You've got to get back going. The plant is in Northern England, and that will get going, and that will save the day so people can have their chicken and their pork and their beef on their dinner plates when they get home. So a lot going on there. What I do know is that most people will be very wise to get a thick woolly jumper, because otherwise your heating bills are going to be very high this winter in Scotland and in England.
What I understand then, Simon, is that the London government is saying that it will subsidize, bail out is the impolite term, subsidize not only the companies that have promised natural gas at an impossible low price given the markets right now, but they will also subsidize or inject cash into fertilizer plants. I read from the Irish news, this looks to be a concern across the British Isles and Ireland as well. The British government has agreed to deal with the U.S. company to restart production of carbon dioxide in the U.K. following fears that a CO2 shortage could lead to food supply disruption, even a widespread cull of pigs in Northern Ireland. A spike in gas prices has led to the suspension of CO2 production at UK fertilizer plants, sparking fears that a number of sectors would be crippled as they rely on a steady supply of carbon dioxide. It looks like the shin bone, the knee bone, the neck bone, all connected here, Simon, a simultaneous disruption in future of food, of heat, and of cash, I guess, cash to pay for all these things. To your understanding, yes. And I realize you've just arrived back from the sunny parts of France, the southern France. Was this expected by the Johnson government? I don't remember them anticipating this or talking about it these last weeks.
No one expected this. This natural gas spike, the price spike in natural gas and the shortage of it, no one really suspected that, and certainly not at this time of the year. It's not uncommon to see natural gas prices go up during the cold months of the winter or the very hot months of the summer if you're in the US. But This was completely out of the blue. And the UK, you know, Chancellor, the coffers of the government in the UK are, you know, are looking a bit shallow at the moment. There really isn't enough money there anyway. And so they're going to have to find even more money and raise taxes even more. It's not going to be good. This is not a good situation for Boris Johnson. However, he has made a good decision in that getting food on the table of people is probably more important than anything, simply because when people are hungry, they tend to be irate and crabby.
I read from the Irish News again, the Ulster Farmers Union warned pig farmers in the north could be forced to cull animals as they were running out of room for livestock as a result of the shortage and lack of farm labor. They estimate now that they had between 7 and 10 days supply left of CO2. So the crisis is upon us. And this, of course, is the arcane part of Brexit. I never understood the border between Ulster and the Republic of Ireland having to do with Brexit and also sausage shortages, as I recall. The making of sausages on your table comes from the ability to maintain the culling of pigs in Ireland to get the sausage to you. And you need to, I think I understand this, Northern Ireland is Britain, so you don't pass a border. But the Republic of Ireland, where there are a lot of pigs, is a hard border. Simon, this is going to get much more complicated. I don't want to pursue it anymore because you just arrived home. So let's get you home. Because it turns out you were enjoying yourself in sunny France while an international scandal blew up involving France and Britain. What a surprise that France and Britain are at odds. Only 1,000 years of episodes, dominated, of course, by Shakespeare telling this story. But then there was the War of Roses. Simon, here's the puzzle. You're in Scotland. Is it okay to say that Scotland was never keen on the union with England if it had had its way in the 18th century and its sympathy with the French, that Scotland is disposed towards France and the continent more than it is towards London?
It certainly was disposed more towards France than it was towards London and the rest of England. Absolutely. It's very interesting. And I think that there's more love for mainland Europe than there is for England in Scotland. That's certainly the case. Not everybody, of course. I happen to love England. I'm a big believer in a patriot loves this country and doesn't hate other countries. So that's an important thing. What happened was very interesting. When I came back, driving all the way back from southern France up to Normandy and then taking the ferry over to England, was during that journey, the British and Americans decided to share some submarine technology with Australia. And that was very good for Australia. And to, you know, the idea is that, it helps fend off the problems with China that are going on. But what isn't good is that France had got ready to sell something like $50 billion worth of submarine technology to Australia, and they're out of pocket now. And of course, you are absolutely right. For 1,000 years, the French and British governments have been at each other's throats. Absolutely. However, that doesn't mean the English people and the Scottish people and the French people all hate each other. We don't. We both love going south to France to get the sun in the summer. So it's really interesting. I think Macron is furious with this deal because France, rather like Britain, relies kind of heavily on exports of armaments.
Let's get you home, Simon, because you just told us your course, but we have to attend to what the pandemic has done to the travel. Simon Constable is in Scotland. This is three peoples, the English, the Scots, and the French, united by sunshine. And Simon's just come from the sunshine of southern France. But the travel these days is challenging because of the pandemic, and that too is going to change in the immediate future. Differences between Scotland and the United Kingdom for people traveling there from the continent. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.